Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't mean to be a stick in the mud,
so I
man.
Thought it'd be the other way around, that because of the injuries, you would feel better given what happened last night.
Tell me why.
So that's very interesting.
Tell me why.
Because I went into those games last night very, very down. Very down. And then, by virtue of Boston, New York, certainly now at least going five, and the Oklahoma City, you know, that really didn't weigh on me at all because we've so long to get there now. Feels like we're in the hole because we're down a game. We lost home court advantage. Who knows even who's going to play tonight? That I can't even think about Oklahoma City. Like that seems like a year away. And so I did feel better given the timeline of the events.
I don't, man. You're gonna have to pump me up. You're gonna have to get something going here. I felt better yesterday. I'm like, you know, them's the breaks. We'll see where it goes. And I woke up this morning like, damn it. Because now it's like, if we're at full strength, we can beat Boston. Damn it, we can beat them. We can beat Boston in a 7-game series. Damn it, listen to me. And then, like, Oklahoma City loses. I go, we win an NBA championship here. Oklahoma City can lose. They bleed real blood. We can beat these teams. I'm like, oh, wait, Evan Mobley's hurt with an ankle. And DeAndre Hunter hurt his thumb. And Darius Garland's hurt. And for whatever reason, we're limiting the minutes of
Donovan. Supposedly laboring after the game.
So you see where I'm at with this.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised you felt I would feel better.
I guess it's just in the order of which it happened. We went into those games last night feeling like you just did. And then I'm like, hey, but at least the Knicks might have bought us more time. Where if we can overcome... You know, the deficit, it's just one game. I mean, it's just one game deficit. It's not like we're down, you know, further in the series. If you're going to be down a game, there's no better time to be down a game in an NBA playoff series than after one game.
Yeah, I know. I feel a lot better tonight if they win. Of course, if they're shorthanded, like if we find out, because it was like the Sunday surprise, like Jared Greenberg, who we'll have on this morning at 9:22. Jared Greenberg goes on TV and says, hey, Darius Garland isn't going to play, and then gives all these. He didn't say it like that. Good God, it's much more of a report than I gave it out. But when he tells you Darius Garland isn't going to play, and I'm going, all right, what are we going to get tonight? Because if you would assume that, all right, we're in the playoffs, Evan Mobley's going to tape it up and go, and DeAndre Hunter's going to tape whatever up and go, and damn it, Darius, whatever shot you got to take, you got to take the shot and you got to move on. I know that we had a lot of conversation about shots last year. And I'm like, I don't know. Because I don't know what to expect until they tip off tonight. So that's where I'm at, man. That's where I'm at. I'm not in a good place.
Well,
I'm
it not, was in, just, good, not it was, in a good area. Think about it. It was a deluge of bad news because it all started out, obviously, with, you know, the loss. And then the Garland report that actually predated the loss from Greenberg, who we're going to have on. And then after the game, you start hearing reports out of the locker room. The DeAndre Hunter foul situation, and then Evan Mobley, and then Donovan Mitchell, and it's like, what in the hell? And then it only got worse the next day because Kenny Atkinson, you know, use the term questionable. And I'm like, all right, questionable. Guys in a playoff game, when they are questionable, what percentage do you think in the annals since injury reports have been a
75%.
Thing? 75%. Yeah, if guys, oh God, I was going to say higher. Guys are questionable. They are playing in a game, especially when a team's down one. And then 2 minutes later, what does Atkinson say? It says doubtful. And you're like, was that a slip of the tongue? Because are they questionable on the injury report just to keep everybody guessing? And in his mind, he's already like, they're doubtful. They're not playing. I already know they're not playing. Like, that's what got me nervous.
I don't know. I wish I could tell you. That's why, I'm glad you feel better after last night, because I don't. Just the more I think about it, the more I'm just like, man, like, why? Fate's going to get in the way of this. I guess it makes it does make a little bit more of a convenient excuse. Like, hey, if they lose this series, if you're down guys, okay. But I don't think anybody was looking for an excuse this postseason. I think they were looking for a championship. And when you got guys hurt, it becomes no excuse, because then you start to think even more about roster building and whether or not your roster is constructed properly. Because then if you got a bunch of guys who are hurt, like, hey, man, you can only say so much on... I'm going to start to say things that I'm going to have to calm down from, so I'm just going to let everybody know this right now. You start to think about your roster long term. All right, well, Darius Garland's always hurt. Darius Garland was hurt last year. Now he's hurt in an important moment here. I know it's not his fault, but then you start to think about things you could do to get somebody in there who doesn't always get hurt. Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley's hurt. All right, Evan Mobley has a slight frame. Well, you're not going to move on from Evan Mobley because that's it. Then it starts to mess with you about your confidence with Donovan Mitchell. Because if Donovan Mitchell can only go 34 minutes and he's laboring in a game and huffing and puffing in game one, all right, how much did I put on him? Well, it all rolls downhill. Like, what we had, and Lyman, you and I had this discussion yesterday on the phone. I don't know why I tell anybody this. It's not like they were listening to us on the phone yesterday, thank God. You described us as we were very, what's the term? We were not guilty. I'm having an early morning brain fart. We were spoiled by LeBron, because LeBron would be banged up, but LeBron's 6'9 and at times 265 pounds.
You knew he was going to play every
game. So you knew he was going to play all the important games, and he is a guy who has the type of body who can go to the lane and get any bucket you need him to, when he needs to. And there is an art to it that I think would upset people who didn't watch basketball a whole lot, and then they would drop in on the Cavs, and you see LeBron take over a game when he wants to. And you go, why can't he do that for a full 48? Because you would only get a dozen games, and then he'd be gassed if he decided to take over every single game. So there was a point where there's coasting that goes on, because he knew that there were ebbs and flows to a game where he could turn it up and continue and get the very best out of it.
I know there was an article written 2 years ago. LeBron had never missed a playoff game. Never missed a playoff game. He played, and at that time, it was like 270 playoff games. I mean, that's never going to happen again.
No.
That is something. You're right. The term spoiled is exactly the term I used, because
it's true.
That's insanity.
And now you have a guy in Donovan, and Donovan's a tremendous player. Donovan's also 6'3". So you can't just... He can go... To the hole, you can go to the bucket. But when you're 6'3", taking on guys who are 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", and they're not going to call the same type of fouls in the postseason the way they would in the regular season, like, yeah, if it's December, you might get one shot, and then you go to the line, and then that's it. You're not going to get it like this. But in the playoffs, they're not blowing whistles. And they're really not blowing whistles for anybody. I know the Cavs didn't get calls the other night. We'll get into that a little bit later on, because... I think I might surprise you with an opinion later on at 7 o'clock, you and I. But if you're not going to get calls, that means that you are going to get smoked every time you go through the lane. You're going to get elbows, you're going to get chops, and there's things that just aren't going to get called in. It's body contact, and 6'3 against 6'9 isn't going to be sustainable for an entire series. So yeah, he's going to be gassed. And so now you have to wonder just how far this thing can go when you're looking at some of the best teams in the league. And, all right, our 6'3", 6'4 guy on a good day, when his Robin, which is 6'2", up against 6'10", 6'9", 6'7", that is not just tall, it's also big. And that's difficult to contend with. And that's where my mind starts to race. If guys are going to get hurt, well, okay, we can have a tremendous season next season, and then I'm going to be waiting for the other shoe to drop in the postseason. Because this sucks. This really sucks. I'm not mad at the Cavs. Like, in all honesty, I can't be mad at the Cavs, for the love of God. I'm just mad at the circumstance of we have one game, one loss. We beat the brakes off Miami, who didn't even look like they were interested towards the end of the series. And then you play one game against Indiana, and now everybody's banged
up. It's amazing how quickly nobody cared about the all-time dominating, lopsided playoff series. The minute you got one game down, and quite truthfully, after the injuries yesterday, it's amazing how many people started asking me, does anybody going to care about the regular season again in this season if they don't make it out of this series?
And I'm like,
all right, so all I ever hear is people rag on the NBA for teams not caring about the regular season. The Cavs finally come out, and yeah, they had their rough stretch at the end of the year where they finished 8-8, but they had already had the number one seed locked up. There was really not a lot to play for. They were on the West Coast. It was weird timing because of what? You had the NCAA tournament in town, and you had the MAC tournament, and so they had a weird timing for the West Coast trip. And then now we're coming back to, well, I guess regular season, they got so excited about it, doesn't matter. It's like, well, you guys got to make up your mind. Do you want regular seasons to have have us put some emphasis on the regular seasons at all?
They're not.
One has nothing to do with the other. It'd be one thing if Kenny Atkinson, congratulations, Coach of the Year, Kenny Atkinson, the amazing.
Yeah, I didn't even get a chance to be excited about that.
The amazing, or the Defensive Player of the Year when, you know, Evan Mobley goes out there and wins that and then they lose the game. But they had this tremendous regular season. It was such a great regular season, and me and you struggled for topics about the team throughout the year.
It all becomes as a big comparison to the LeBron years. That's all it becomes. And I don't want to go down that road every single day. So it's like, hey, they're great. How great are they? 2-1-6? Like, no, they're great.
They were wire-to-wire one seed in the Eastern Conference. Ahead of the defending champs. You know, so I'm sitting here racking my brain at, like, am I supposed to be really mad they lost the game when, yeah, I am frustrated. The DeAndre Hunter play, I mean, I'm telling you right now, if they go on to lose this series, that play is, like, going to go down as the fumble out of the back of the end zone, Cleveland Browns against the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, just a little thing that no one else will remember in the world, but Cleveland fans will forever remember. Just like the rain delay in the World Series. I bet you Cleveland fans remember that so much more than anybody. There's always these little stupid nagging things that you're like, if that wouldn't have happened. Because the way things were going in that game, the huge close to the third quarter, the big run we went on, and then in the fourth, that goes down, and it's like that you could hear a pin drop. The whole place was like, what just happened? Did we lose DeAndre Hunter?
They're not, and again, guys, I'm not saying that they're soft. They're not soft. This is a bad set of circumstances that happen, and so it makes you think stupid things because there's only so much you can do with the roster. And then the replacement are what? Guys who are often injured themselves? So there's no real answer to that, but you start thinking silly, stupid things because you try to control something that's uncontrollable. It's absolutely uncontrollable, and it's frustrating. So, yeah, if they would have just lost on Sunday and like, hey, you had a bad night, you were 23% from long range, just a bad night overall, but everybody came out like Evan Mobley shipshape, and Darius Garland, you know, he'll probably take the shot and he'll be back on Tuesday night. And Oklahoma City and Boston would have lost, I'd be feeling a lot better about things right now. But my struggle is about something I don't know and can't control. The only thing that they know are the guys who haven't even woken up yet. Because the guys who are playing for the Cavaliers, at least I hope they haven't woken up yet. Good God, it's going to throw their rhythm off. They need to be in sleep. They need to be in beddy-byes. You don't wake up. I mean, they're second shifters. You can't be working. You can't be staying up and waking up at 6 a.m. So you got to be asleep. So that's where I'm at right now. And I know it's not a great place, man. I like to be in a more positive position. I like to be a much more positive guy getting ready to take on a team in game two. Because we got to get this series to 1-1. It's like, any way you can do this, any way you can steal this thing and get this thing to 1-1, and then I'll worry about Indiana when we get to Indiana. Fine. Do that. Because I'm as desperate for a win as I've seen. I know they've won so many games this year. I'm desperate here. This is, to me, I'm starting to feel like this is a game 7. Like,
oh, it's huge.
You get to,
it absolutely is huge.
Because if it's 0-2 and then the injuries are there, it's like, all right. Just, this sucks. This is fate. I know that they can't be that way. Like, I need this tonight, man. I Cavs fans need this tonight. This is for my feelings. This is, I think, for Cavs fans' feelings. Like, you gotta, I don't know what you gotta do to go over there to the arena tonight and win this game, but you gotta do whatever you can. Because it is We are in a desperate situation right now because I am not just arguing about the Cavs. The Cavs are a fantastic team. They're better than Indiana. It feels like I'm arguing against fate. And I don't want to sit there and argue against fate because it's just such an uncontrollable thing. 216-474-0092. Kenny Atkinson did win coach of the year.
We're still 9-point favorites, by the way, tonight.
Still?
Yes.
Okay, that did make me feel a little better. It did make me feel a little
better.
I've
got 8.5.
You got 8.5.
That still makes me feel a little better. If it were down to like 2, I'd...
And we're still favorites to win the series. You wouldn't know it by the first 17 minutes of this show.
Why didn't you tell me that at 6:03? I'll pay attention to that stuff. I'm not allowed to gamble. Okay. I feel a little better now.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, well, even though it didn't satisfy some of our current feelings about the Cavs situation, we had two big upsets in the NBA last night. Game one, the first one being the Celtics losing to the Knicks in overtime, despite being up as many as 20 points during the second half. Now, this is a game where Boston really struggled from the three-point line, one of their favorite spaces. 15 of 60. That means they missed 45 from beyond the stripe. Now, this is head coach Joe Mazzulla last night talking about whether or not he was satisfied with Boston's shot selection in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, obviously, over the course of a game, you always can find, you know, 5-10 shots that you want to be better at. But, you know, I thought throughout the night, for the most part, we fought for good looks, you know, throughout the game. But, yeah, I mean, you can find 5-10 that we could be better at.
I can barely fathom shooting 45 three-pointers in a game total, let alone missing 45.
Well, it's pretty insane. It's games like that where you're reminded just how different the NBA game is and the statistical variance of three-pointers, how they are swinging playoff games and favorites are going down because of it. It's tough, and the question then comes back to the coach. Like, I know they're open shots, and they did. They looked at the Celtics' open shots. There were a slew of them. They performed well under what they typically do. But at what point do you make an adjustment and mix it up?
Well, yeah, exactly. When you look at it and go, okay, we're not hitting these shots today, I guess they're just going to be live by or die by, because if you're Joe Mazzulla, you're going to go, well, there's no way we're going to miss 43 or 45. How many was it?
45.
There's no way we're going to miss 45 three-pointers in a game again.
Yeah, while the Knicks hit on 55% of theirs.
Yeah.
45% of theirs. So
as of right now, there's a fear in that you don't want to change, or you want to change and adjust, but I really think Boston doesn't need to adjust right now. I think if they live by it, they're going to die by it, and that's the way it's going to go. Because if the Knicks had only made 20% of their shots, then I think you go, okay, what do we need to do different? Because they're clogging us up, and they're not that great of a shooting team. But if they're going to shoot like that, it's like, all right, they were great tonight. We were not great tonight. Had we hit those threes, it's not going to overtime. It's probably a blowout. We don't need to worry about it. Let's not break who we are based on one game. So I think that's what Joe Mazzulla is thinking about. But it's interesting, though, because it's a night where if you're saying the shot selection is there, that means you're just missing the open shots. So maybe you did need to make an adjustment halfway through that game, but I don't know if you want to throw off the rhythm of your team for game one of a series.
Going over to the other game here, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets last night going down to the wire. Aaron Gordon making the game-winning three-pointer with just seconds to spare as the Nuggets take the first game of the series. Now, there was an interesting strategy for Oklahoma City towards the end of the game. They fouled Gordon with about 10 seconds left. They were up by 3. They didn't want to have a crazy shot, so he made 2 free throws. Chet Holmgren goes down and misses 2 free throws, which led to Gordon making the game winner. Coach Mark Daigneault of Oklahoma City talking about the Thunder's foul strategy and saying that's not why they lost.
That's usually our deal, is to foul up 3 and to play that game. I thought we executed the fouls pretty well, got the ball in bounds pretty well. It didn't go our way tonight, but it's worked out well for us in the past. We'll continue to look at it, maybe learn from it, but I didn't think that's why we lost the game.
They were up 11 with 4.5 minutes to go at home with everybody wearing the shirt. Everybody in the building wearing the shirt.
Somebody told me that their crowd was not that boisterous last night. They might have wore the shirt, but were they loud? Because if you just wear the shirt, but you're not loud about it, you're not doing the shirt any justice.
It surprised me because that's one of the crazier home court advantages. That's like a college atmosphere. At times, I thought Cleveland against Indiana, third quarter, felt like that too. These places, these NBA arenas, can actually get really loud when they feel the need to. This was staggering. This was absolutely staggering. The way that there's the missed free throw by Holmgren that would have put him up 2. Then Westbrook is off to the races on the other end and finds Gordon for the 3, and that place got silent. And I think they, of all the stuff that happened, this might have been the most shocking, the way it went down.
It is, by the way, it's insane to think about this because, I did not notice that the fan base was quiet last night, but Oklahoma City, like, you didn't need to lose the Seattle Supersonics to have a team in Oklahoma City, I don't think, but boy, what a great market for basketball. That is a great market. I sound like Jeff Phelps right now. I mean, I'll keep it quick, but what a great market for
NBA
basketball.
Would you go there for three times the salary? Would you talk sports in Oklahoma City?
No, I wouldn't. No.
Would you go to Milwaukee?
No.
No, that's that we've known. But, I mean, after Kenny sent his proverbial flowers to Oklahoma City and their fans.
Well, yeah, it's fine. But, I mean, I like the – actually, I've never been to either town, so I have no idea.
Rank your towns, Kenny.
Top three towns that you love but would not go to.
Move to?
Yes. For three times the salary.
For three times
the salary. But you love them. So you can't put, like, why Pittsburgh.
I can't love them.
I'm not going to Pittsburgh.
Well, I can't. Well, obviously, I wouldn't go to Pittsburgh.
So that's you love silly. Them. You've proclaimed that they're great.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a heel turn on everybody. Me going to Pittsburgh and then going to Pittsburgh and being a bad guy.
Where are you going?
Can I do it for him?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
That's funny.
Number one is Ames, Iowa. Number two, Orlando.
Okay.
Because he's been there so often. But I don't know if he'd move there.
Hell no.
And yeah, I think now Oklahoma City forges ahead of Milwaukee.
Wow. Hell no. I will never... not by my own means want to ever, ever move to Florida. Ever. Ever. I'm an Ohio man. I can't see myself moving to any other state. But certainly not Florida, man. No.
Can I ask you right now who's going to win the NBA championship?
That traffic. Me? You want to ask me or do you want to ask Mitch?
Oh. I'm asking you and then we'll get to Mitch.
Oklahoma City.
Mitch?
Cavs.
All what?
Right. I didn't. Okay. I mean, did anybody take that seriously?
You want me to try?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead, Owen. We've moved on, Mitch. Go ahead, Owen.
I don't care.
That sounds like Minnesota.
Yeah.
That sounds like you said Minnesota.
And they do play tonight against Golden State.
Now, I wish it was the Cavs, but I don't think it is.
Going over to the NFL story yesterday, the Baltimore Ravens released a statement, a football decision, if you will, that they have released longtime kicker Justin Tucker amidst misconduct allegations against Tucker.
There Ravens was owning up to it finally. Finally, they did the right thing. They owned up to it. Maybe it was some public pressure, but I'll give them credit. And I haven't heard the statement yet, Mitch, but I'll give them credit. Seems like they finally understood the concerns about Justin Tucker.
I mean, it takes the pressure off that draft pick they had, so.
Do you have the statement?
I have it right in front of me.
Okay, I was about to say I don't have the statement right now.
Saying, considering our current roster, we made the tough decision to release Justin Tucker, who made many significant and unforgettable moments in Ravens history.
There you go.
That's the statement?
That's not the whole statement. That's an abridged
version
of the statement.
What about the part with the accusations and the massage parlors? Is that in the fifth paragraph?
They said they're grateful for his many contributions while playing for the Ravens. They didn't say which contributions.
He wrote at the beginning of the statement, sometimes football decisions are incredibly... Who you read from Shawshank Redemption? Sometimes football decisions are incredibly difficult, and this one is one of those instances.
All right. Okay, but what paragraph did they get to... the alarming accusations.
They don't.
There's five paragraphs. There might be a sixth one here.
See, they're written like paragraphs, but they're just sentences. Because I'm like, what are you looking at that I'm not looking at here?
There's one with two sentences in here.
The article is a confederation. What is this? It's just this one thing.
Mitch, just go over the details about him being banned from two, not one, but two... different massage parlors.
I mean, they don't talk about
There's none of that.
They talk about his focus, his drive, his resilience, his extraordinary talent.
Well, they wrote some flowery stuff about this guy.
Okay, but what about the alleged victims? At what point did they bring that up?
Does DaCosta and Harbaugh bring that up?
DaCosta's the only name that's...
are you telling me they didn't own up to any of this?
What is there to own up to? There's a very specific reason why they did not. They don't know what's going to happen here. He could end up being, for all we know, the man could end up being exonerated.
This isn't the Baltimore Ravens organization that I know and respect. It just doesn't sound like that.
Good.
The
Ravens organization I know would have apologized for for the alleged victim.
I'm not allowed to say anything to you. He's giving me the wrap up over there. So
it's just this doesn't sound like you have the right statement.
Really quick, Joe Pesci at the Oscars. It's been my pleasure to talk about with you.
I'll keep it brief, like Joe here too. Our final thing here: St. Ignatius' Hall of Fame announcing 5 nominees this year, including class of 2004 grad Brian Hoyer.
Hey!
Congratulations, Brian.
Why'd it take him 20 years?
I feel like it takes everyone 20 years to get into the high school Hall of Fame.
Do you have to be out of, because he's older than me, and I'm out of high school 20 years.
Brian Hoyer has somehow become one of the most polarizing guests we've ever had on the show.
I love it.
And we're supposed to be done with the Brian Hoyer, and now I think he's just getting started.
Oh, no, we gotta get something going there. I'm not going to say anything more. It is unbelievable. Anytime Brian joins us, there's people like, yeah, and there are people who I think that they would blow up his trash can. There are people just hate what he says with us, and I love it.
And that's it for About Last Night.
Outstanding as always. I love you. Will the Cavs have Darius Garland and Evan Mobley tonight? If there was a night that they had to answer and overcome, tonight is the night. Joe Vartan had brought something up, though, yesterday on Afternoon Drive. I can understand this. I can totally understand why the Cavs are this way. This might throw some people off. Cavs got to take on the Pacers last night. Just hear Joe out and let me explain this as best I can. Hit it!
When you think about injury philosophy and how they deal with injuries from team to team, I believe the Cavs to be among the more conservative teams in the league when it comes to injury management. I think that endears them to their players. They give you the room that you need to be healthy before you return. But I want everybody to know that, because when you get to now and you don't have the time to do this, there may not be the experience, I guess, of like having to play through stuff. And so now you've got a situation where whatever happens with Darius Garland tomorrow night, we know he's not right. Mobley, DeAndre, these are new injuries. Donovan, like what he's dealing with, like they're going to have to go. What I'm saying is maybe this team, they aren't as tested when it comes to having to play through the injury. And now they have to.
I understand what Joe's saying. I respect Joe. I also know, like, hey, the Cavs have to be conservative. Their best players are 6'3 and 6'2. I can't have them tough it out all the time. If I lose these guys, then that's it. I mean, I'm sorry. Evan is still a pup. Tell me I'm wrong. Please tell me I'm wrong. Maybe they need to toughen him up. I'm not sure. I don't know if Joe's laying the gauntlet down, but my best players are 6'3 and 6'2, and I have an undersized or at least underweight big man inside. The only guy who seems to be the normal size for an NBA player is Jared Allen. Everybody else, they seem to be either undersized, whether height, weight, both, doesn't matter. And I'm going, I have to be conservative with this. I have to make sure that they're good to go, because if they get banged up, it's not like anybody else getting banged up.
Well, they're also playing for the long haul, right? I mean, we are playing for, we're playing for the entire championship to be around the entire time. We know that Donovan Mitchell was considerably banged up last year. I mean, he dropped 50 in a game where he was hobbling around, and you didn't want to be in that situation again. They lost that game, by the way. You don't want to be in that situation again where we're doing what the Knicks had done all year. And I mean, ironically, the Knicks are up 1-0 in their series and we're down a game. I mean, it's incredible. None of this is going to script right now. The Cavs had one of the most perfect regular seasons you're ever going to have. They were healthy. They had the one seed locked up, so home court advantage almost throughout the entire playoffs up until the NBA Finals. And yet we're sitting here staring at a bunch of injuries. Now, they're not season ending, thank God, right? I mean, it could be way worse. You could be dealing with much, much worse, but it doesn't make you feel good because they dropped that first game, and we don't know who's going to be available tonight.
You might have said this yesterday. And maybe I was wrong. Maybe I just didn't hear you right, because I should have made a bigger deal about it than what I did. That's my fault. You mentioned 34 minutes being low for Donovan. And I only gave it half a pass, half a glance at you, and then I don't know what we were doing. So that was my fault. 34 minutes for Donovan. I think that Kenny Atkinson could have sat there and think, I'm not going to hit the gas with this guy when I have a 7-game series on my hands here. This is going to be a 6-7-game series, and it could go either way. Now with the other injuries, it can go either way. So if you got a whole series that you have to think of, like, I think Kenny Atkins is playing the long game. I might have Darius back why gas out Donovan Mitchell in game one? I'm not going to gas him out in game one. You disagree, Owen.
Well,
Owen's
it can
mad.
Become the short game real quick.
Well, it can't. Well, I don't think at the time he knew that he was going to lose, maybe possibly lose Evan Mobley and possibly DeAndre Hunter at the time.
Yeah.
Well, if you ain't got those
it's
guys.
It's the playoffs. It's time to start playing your best player more than 34 minutes a game.
Okay, but if I have him playing 34 minutes and he's clearly gassed, he was gassed in game one.
It's
you can deny
we
that all you want.
Enough in the rear.
Well, I'm sorry, but if every game's going to be a damn blowout, how can I keep him out on the floor the whole time? We bitch because he's out there too much. Now we're bitching that he isn't out there enough.
I agree with that.
So we got to pick a side and we got to go. I'm not yelling at you. I am, but
you are.
I'm not.
I got that for
we
you.
We got to pick it. Well, they can't see you giving me the finger over there. I am number one.
So
second of all,
did we not kind of celebrate all season the fact that, man, Donovan Mitchell has been a career, 34-35 minute a night guy in the regular season, and this year 31-4 they scaled back his minutes and still coasted to the best record in the Eastern Conference. We thought it was a coup. We thought it was incredible coaching by Atkinson.
It was great seeing that as opposed to him getting 42 minutes a night the last 2 years down the stretch and coming in being completely gassed. Yeah. And now it looks like he's gassed because he didn't play enough.
I think that he was fine. And I think that Kenny was sitting there going, I'm not going to gas him out and have him playing catch up on Tuesday night just to win game one of a series. It's not game. I think he felt that he has a long series ahead. He knows when Donovan Mitchell was tired. Donovan Mitchell was dog-ass tired at the end of that game, and he only played 34 minutes.
But you said it yourself that game two is now feels like game seven,
because
right?
But I didn't know that
now
yesterday.
Now he's going to play 48 minutes.
But I did not know that yesterday.
He might have to play more than that.
But I didn't know that yesterday.
Overtime.
Okay, I'll say it a fourth time. I didn't know that yesterday because I didn't know that Evan Mobley was going to be either questionable or doubtful, depending on the sentence that Kenny Atkinson says at the time. He used the word doubtful. I didn't use it. Okay, well, now if Evan's doubtful, now we got, maybe it was important. But he didn't know that at the time. Here we are.
Well, the 34 minutes, I noted it the night of because I found it interesting. I'm like, damn, in a close game, in a game you absolutely wanted to have that you had a chance to come back and get after you were down the way you were, and he only played 34 minutes. And I look back, and in a non-blowout situation, 34 is the least amount of playoff minutes he's played since his rookie year. But then I thought about it, and I'm like, man, look at the body language. Look at what he's exerting. Those forays to the rim, it's like, man, I can understand why you'd settle for threes because it's tough. Even though they don't have a lot of shot blocking back there, the Pacers are doing a great job of just staying physical for 50 feet, 75 feet.
Did he go 1 of 11 from 3 because he's tired or because he didn't have a shot?
Yeah, I do think a lot of those shots looked in rhythm. It wasn't like he was short-arming them. I'd be surprised if he ever has a three-point shooting night like that in the playoffs the rest of his career, 1 of 11. But at the same time, I do think there will be more of a concerted effort for the entire team, not just Donovan. Turn the corner, go to the basket. These guys do not have an interior presence that can really deny going to the basket. So I do think that's going to be a big adjustment for tonight.
Like, I can't tell them to lay off tonight because tonight it feels like a game seven. So I know that they have to hit the gas tonight. Do you think the Cavs can overcome these injuries? 216-474-0092. I'm going to get to some of you guys when we come back. And the Cavaliers are the Rodney Dangerfield and number one seeds. That's at 702. Take us with you to work on the absolutely positively free Odyssey app and hear the latest.